Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, Enjoyers. Hope you're doing really well. Well, here we are. We're in the third of our Money Matters series in the context of our Freedom series. I got to tell you, I'm super excited. I just want to say thank you to all of you that have reached out and said thank you for the teaching. But I got to tell you, I am super excited about teaching on the realm and in the realm of financial matters. The reason is because as a pastor, as a father, as a leader, there's nothing I want to see more. I got a feeling, you know, my heart for you is really the heart of God for you. God wants you to enjoy financial freedom, and so do I. And that's why I am committed to teaching on financial matters in a way that you can go to work, you can put these principles into practice and see the promises of God revealed and outwork in your life. So I'm believing for that. So let's jump in today. You know, when I was young, when I started losing my teeth, how many of you remember all those years ago when you were young and you were losing your teeth? I would go to bed at night and my mum and dad, they would put a jar of water or a glass of water beside me, and they'd put the tooth that I lost in the jar. When I woke up the next morning, you know what had happened. The tooth would be gone, and guess what? There was 50 cents. Back in the day, 50 cents was a lot of money. There'd be 50 cents in the bottom of the glass of water. And you know, so I'd be like, in my early days, I'm like, what is this? And mum and dad told me the tooth fairy came and took the tooth in the middle of the night and left spondooli, left the cash, left the 50 cents in the bottom of the glass. I thought, this is amazing. Then after Georgie and I got married, Georgie explained to me how the money ended up in the glass of water. I got to tell you, my heart was broken as I realized that the tooth fairy wouldn't be coming to my address anymore. Friends, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, I'm here to tell you that the tooth fairy isn't coming by your place anymore. So if you want to see increase come in the morning, you're going to need a better plan than that. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 8 says, "To acquire wisdom is to love oneself. People who cherish understanding will prosper. Not may prosper, not might prosper, but people who acquire wisdom and cherish understanding will prosper." This is why the scriptures are full of encouragement. I love scripture. Can I encourage you? If you want to grow and develop and learn how to do life and do it well that attracts the favor and the blessing of God, can I encourage you? Get into scripture. You know, the reason that the scriptures are full of things pertaining to wisdom and understanding is because the Lord, He wants you to prosper. Maybe He wants you to prosper more than you actually want to prosper yourself. And it's like, do you want to prosper? Get into scripture. Proverbs chapter 4, reading from verse 5 says, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, though it cost all you have. Get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor." Now, when it comes to money matters, I'm sure we'd all agree we want wisdom and we want understanding. So before we get real practical today, and we're going to get practical today, here are some proverbs from the Book of Shane. You like the Book of Shane? Yes, that's right, the Book of Shane. Here we go. Ready for some proverbs? They're really simple. Proverbs such as this one here. "Money doesn't grow on trees, but it does grow." How many of you know that is a reality right there? Money doesn't grow on trees, but it does grow. If you've got it, you can grow it. Here we go. Here's another one. "Money doesn't make you happy, but it can certainly help." Praise God. You know that's true as well as I know it's true. All right, here's another one. One that you're probably not expecting to hear from me. Here we go. "Don't give all your money away." That's right. I want to encourage you, church. Don't give all your money away. And you're like, well, we've never heard any pastor say that. Don't give all your money away. How many of you know, if you give it all away, then you won't have money for anything. That's right, you got to think about it. All right, don't give all your money away. Here we go. "Money is not a gauge of spirituality." All right, it's like some people are like, we judge in all the wrong ways. Money is no gauge of spirituality. Money in and of itself is neither good nor evil. It's like we're rocking along now, aren't we? That's right. Money in and of itself, it's in the hands of a good person, it is good. In the hands of an evil person, it can be used for evil. But money in and of itself is neither good nor evil. Here we go. Money is not the source of all evil. You've all heard it said money is the source of all evil. How many people have you heard that come out? That's not what the scripture says. It's like the scripture says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's just wrong to say money is the root of all evil. That's not what the Bible says. Slow earned gains are solid gains. You know that's a reality as much as I do. What about this one? Better to be poor and honest than to be dishonest and a fool. And you might be like, well, that's a bit harsh. No, that's the Bible. Sorry, if you know scripture, you know that all throughout what I've just said, there's scripture woven throughout much of it, most of it. Here we go. So that was Proverbs 19 verse 1 for those of you that are taking notes. Now we could go on and on, but I'd encourage you all to move on from the Proverbs of Shane. At the end of the day, all as I'm trying to do is communicate the heart of God. But you want to move on from my Proverbs and lean into the book of Proverbs because it has so much to say about money, how to gain it, and also how to lose it. Okay, now let's get real practical right here, right now. God wants, as we learned last week, for you to be the head, not the tail, above and not below, in regards to money matters. So that being the case, no matter where you find yourselves today, where we find ourselves today, on mountains high or valleys low in regards to our finances, the principles that we'll share today will take you from wherever you're at today towards being in a stronger place financially, which I'm sure is where we all want to go. Genesis chapter 8, reading verse 22 says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That's right. Seed is for sowing. I'm sure we'd all agree, but how many of us actually sow with a view to harvest? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Are you sowing with a view to harvest? How many of us sow with a view to a return? As believers, we all know and we believe that our seed comes from God. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The parable of the talents that Jesus told in Matthew 25 shows us clearly that the master who represents Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, gave to each of his servants talents, each according to his ability. Two of his servants multiplied their talents, resulting in the master, when he returned, saying to them, well done, my good and faithful servants. While the one who did nothing with the talent that he'd been given from the Lord or from the master was called a wicked, lazy servant. The praise or the rebuke that each received wasn't dependent on how many talents they had, but rather what they did with what they had. Friends, God wants us to sow, to seed with a view to seeing a multiplying harvest come in. I want to encourage you, begin to see in your mind, begin to see in your spirit. How many of you know without a vision, people perish? We want to be a people of vision. I want you to begin to see a multiplying harvest come in your direction, coming back to you, returning back to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10 says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So, who do we believe that he is? We believe, obviously, that the he is the Lord. So he who supplies seed will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and therefore increase the harvest of your righteousness. Church, it's so important that we transition in our thinking from spending to a place where when we're thinking about what we're releasing to sowing and seeding. Let's move on from spending, just spending, to seeding and sowing. People spend so often with no thought of tomorrow, no thought of the future at all. But people who sow and seed, they do it with a harvest in mind. And of course, our harvest, when we talk about a harvest as believers, we're not wanting purely a financial harvest. We're not talking about financial gains all by itself. No, we are looking for a harvest of righteousness, a harvest that's in keeping with what's right in the eyes of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from verse 11 says, You will be made rich in every way so that, got to get the so that here, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for His incredible gift. So now, as the Lord supplies my seed for sowing, I have a growing revelation and understanding as to what pleases Him, what pleases the Lord. Here we go. Point number one, my tithing is an act of obedience which causes the Lord to open the windows of heaven over my life. My tithing is what pleases God. Secondly, my generosity is what enlarges the harvest of my righteousness. So my generosity also pleases God. Please note that believers are never called generous because they tithe. You might be like, really? That's right. They're not called generous, they're called obedient because they tithe, not generous. In fact, God's people were called robbers and cheaters when they didn't tithe. All right, we don't want to go there, but we just went there, so let's move on. Friends, when we get the hand of obedience and the hand of generosity working together, look out, because increase and multiplication are coming our way. So let's look now, just a little bit, let's look at our sowing, our seeding with the harvest in mind. We're going to get really, really practical today, because at the end of the day, you know, as in all of our teaching and in all of our preaching, we want to be so practical that you actually can go away and apply it in your life, and over time see a harvest come in. We want to give to you that you might go away and sow, that a harvest might come in. You know what I'm saying there. All right, where do we start? All right, so let's start right at the beginning. Let's start with earning $100 a week. We have $100 per week coming in increase. That's right, coming into our bank account, coming into our wallet, coming in however it comes in. Now, I'm going to pull out my $100. Praise God. The Lord has been good, and I've got increase in my hand, $100. The first 10%. All right, so what are we going to do here? The first 10% goes to God, the tithe jar. All right, now just for the record, going to help you out here, going to show you how it works. The tithe jar, just for the record, I don't give my tithe. I don't sow my tithe. No. I return my tithe, because the tithe actually belongs to the Lord. He gives us 100%. But the reason he refers to robbers and cheats is because they didn't give back to him what is his. The tithe belongs to the Lord. The first 10% belongs to the Lord. As I said last week, it's actually an issue of sovereignty. Who is sovereign in your life? Is the Lord sovereign in your life? Is His word sovereign in your life? That's what we find out through this. Now, for those of you who are still of the opinion that tithing isn't a New Testament teaching or something Jesus taught, I wanted to go here first. Let's just go here. Matthew chapter 23, because you all know Matthew is New Testament and Jesus is speaking here. So Matthew 23 and 24 say, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." How many of you know swallowing a camel is never good? But here's the thing. If Jesus wanted to say, all right, just so we're clear, we're in the New Testament now. I'm here. I've arrived. We're going to do away with tithing, and we're going to do away with everything else. He could have, but he didn't do that. No, he said, you should have done that and done that as well. Here we go. Malachi chapter 3, reading from verse 10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse." Storehouse, please take note. For all of you who want to obey God in regard to your tithe, we bring tithe into the storehouse. That's the local church. And we don't send that to look after orphans. We don't send that to look after widows. You don't use your tithe to be generous. You return your tithe. You bring all the tithe into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. There's going to be, that's what a healthy church looks like. When everybody within the church is tithing, there will be enough food in the house to look after all the people that God is going to bring into the house. All right. "If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will throw open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it, says the Lord, try it. Let me prove it to you. So it's our obedience to God with 10% that causes the windows of heaven to be thrown open, that blessing might rain down on the 90%. So what am I going to do when I get my $100 come in at the end of the week or whatever? You can multiply it up, multiply it down. You know how to do the arithmetic there. You know how it works. But I'm going to take the first 10%. I'm going to honor the Lord and I'm going to tithe to God. I'm going to return that to God because that belongs to God. In the knowledge that as I do that, He's then going to open the windows of heaven and begin to bless. He's going to rebuke the devourer over the 90% that I might go to work and see God's blessing come about in my life. Now, the second jar is the seed time jar. That's right. Here we go. This jar is for our generosity in the knowledge that it's this seeding that will enlarge the harvest of our righteousness. We want to be as generous as we can. Now, we're going to talk numbers. You've got to work these numbers out for yourself. Beyond the tithe, basically, you've got to work it out, all right, in the knowledge that what you seed is going to bring back a harvest. So for me personally, George and I, we tithe our 10% because that's what a tithe is, it's 10%. But then we look to also be generous with the next 10% as well. We want to know that we are being generous. It's not a matter of anyone says you have to do this, you should do this. No. We want to do this because we understand what happens when we do this, as in when we sow to God from a position of generosity, He will then give us more seed to sow more seed. We have seen this in our own life over the years. So we take our second 10% and we put that, the second $10, in our seed time jar. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11 says, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Now, there is no specific directive in regards to this space. As in, when it comes to where you're going to be generous, the Bible doesn't say you have to be generous here. But there are certainly pointers like this one here. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and lasting religion in the sight of God our Father means that we must care for orphans and widows in their troubles and refuse to let the world corrupt us. What does it mean? What does it say there, the world corrupt us? Because if we end up in that place of having a love of money, there's no doubt about it, we're going to neglect the orphan and the widow. God doesn't want us to do that. Pure and lasting religion is one that has an eye for the widow, has an eye for the orphan. Personally, Georgie and I, we want the majority of our generosity to flow through the vision and the endeavors of Enjoy Church. This is where God planted us. And so this is where we flow. The vast majority of our generosity goes through there. We have sponsored children. I think we have 4 sponsored children that we still support. They're on their journey in life and they're growing in God. Praise God. They're growing within the context of their local families. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to do that. We look for other opportunities. I'm just smiling because I'm just thinking of some of the other opportunities that we just want to be generous. But the vast majority will go through the vision and the endeavors of Enjoy. This is where God planted us. That's why we go down that path. All right. The third jar is what I call the S&I jar. This jar is for our savings and investment. Savings and investment. Can I encourage you? You want to be saving and you want to be investing. So we're going to take the next 10%, another $10, and put it in the S&I jar right there. All right. So this is how it works. Savings and investment. Savings can be put into a savings account. You can put your savings and your investment into investment accounts. You can pay extra off the home loan because you know as well as I do, that's an investment right there. If you're knocking that home loan down, I'd encourage you. You know, if you don't have any advice in these spaces, get some really good advice. You know, as strange as it may sound, if you're paying your mortgage monthly, if you pay weekly, you're going to save years on your home loan. And you're not going to pay any more. You're just paying it weekly. As in, it's like there are so many ways that you can actually pay and invest into your future in those ways. Just good, solid financial advice. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Because for me, as we look at this verse here, I want you to know, when it comes to my savings and investment, I'm looking for generational sowing. Money doesn't grow on trees, but money does grow generationally. There's no doubt about that. And that's why it says, Proverbs 13, verse 22, it says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children." Now, can I say this to you? Now, if you're in debt, maybe going to war on your debt is where you need to start to put that behind you so that your savings and investments are just that. This is what I would say to you. If you're in debt, don't be taking the money that you should be paying that way and paying it that way and thinking and moving forward. You got to kill the debt. Go to war on your debt. Go to war on your spending so that when you are actually investing and when you are saving, it is actually that. All right, then we go to the fourth point. Here we go. The fourth jar is what I call the living jar. So we've already spent 30%. All right, now I say 30%, 10% is tithe, 10% is seeding. You might only be, maybe this is a season where you need to go to war on your debt, so you can't be as generous as you'd like to be. Don't be generous out there if you're not paying what you already owe. You know what I'm saying? That might sound a bit harsh, but I know some people that are very generous with other people's money. Anyway, we won't go there. So you know what I'm saying? You can only be as generous as you can be. So, but we are believing that we're going to be able to get there. So 10% tithe, 10% for seeding, 10% for savings and investment. Now we're going to go into the living jar. We've already spent 30%. That leaves us 70%. So if it leaves us with 70%, can I just throw out a thought, crazy thought? Why don't we plan to live on 50 to 60%? And it's like, really? You would actually go there? Just because you have doesn't mean you need to spend. All right, we want to not only live within our means, but we want to pull back some of our mindsets and work out what our wants are, what our needs are. We don't need to spend everything that's coming in. All right, why don't we begin to plan to live on 50 to 60% for food, rent. Now, I'm going to throw mortgage in there, but mortgage could also be in the saving and investment category. So just work that backward and forward. Do your arithmetic there, clothing, utilities, car, etc. Now, if you can live on 50 to 60%, you know as well as I do what that means. That means all of a sudden, I have an extra 10 to 20% to either sow generously or save or invest or whatever I want to do in that space. So I'm going to take out another 5 here and I'm going to put that into my life. That's my living right there. I got to get by with that. And it's like, I may need to make some changes for that to be a reality, but now I've got 2 left over. So this is what I'm going to do. I am going to now go to my 5th jar, which is the U jar. I want to encourage you, everyone should have a U jar. And it's like, you may not be able to put much in that U jar at the moment because you're paying off debt or you're making other commitments. You want to be more generous towards others than you are towards yourself. But there should be a U jar with, say, a 2 to 10%. And I say 2 to 10% as in don't go blowing it all on yourself and Uber Eats and all the rest of that. That's not going to go anywhere. But have a U jar. And to begin with, who knows, it might be $4.50 a week so that you've just got enough to have a latte with some friends on Saturday morning. It might, whatever it is, just let that be about a space that is just a happy place for you where once a week you're thinking about that place. You might put it all together and go out for a meal every couple of weeks. I'm not too sure, but I want to encourage you to have that space. That's really just a place where it's like, man, that's just a happy place for you. But how many of you know, then all of a sudden I'm left with another 10. What am I going to do with this other 10? Well, I can obviously invest it. I can knock it off my debt, or I can seed it some more. I'm going to invest it actually. And it's like, now you might be like, I've never had anything left over. But half the challenge is this. For many people, spending is where they live. They just spend from one week to the next. I want to encourage you, step away from a mentality of spending and start thinking about sowing and seeding, sowing and seed time within the context and the framework of I'm going to sow, I'm going to seed because I want to harvest in the future. Friends, I believe as you put God's word to the test, which is what he tells you to do, you're going to see his blessing and his word come to pass in your life. The promises of God are going to come your way. So there you go. So there's 5 jars. We have the tithe jar, the seed time jar, the savings and investment jar, the living jar, and the you jar. And I know this. As you go to work, you consider not just about where you're going to spend your money, but how you're going to sow, how you're going to seed, how you're going to prepare yourself with an expectation of a harvest to come in. God is going to bless everything you put your hand to. So can I pray for you now? I want to pray for enjoyers everywhere in the knowledge that as we put God to the test, because that's what he says in it, Try it. Put me to the test. As we put him to the test, we're going to see he will be true to his word, and we're going to move forward in this whole area of finances. I want to see you, and I know you want to see you move into financial freedom. Know that we're praying for you, and I believe that God is going to work on your behalf as you put his word to the test. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, now and always, Lord, as your people put you to test in regards to this particular part of their life, Lord God. We know, Lord God, you want us to walk in freedom. You want us to walk in financial freedom. And I pray for every brother, for every sister, for every couple and every family, for every business, Lord God, as they consider the matters that we've spoken about today, the five jars, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, as they are good stewards, Lord God, with that which you have entrusted to them, may they see an incredible return, Lord God. Lord, speak, Lord God, into spaces and places that I really don't know and understand, but I know, Lord God, our people are going through different scenarios and different situations. I pray the miraculous into those areas, Lord God, that they would know that you are working on their behalf. May there be incredible turnaround in situations and circumstances as they put you to the test. Lord, I speak blessing and I speak favor now and always in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. God bless you, enjoyers. Here's the thing, understanding all of there's no tooth fairy here. There's no waving wands. It doesn't work like that. As it is with any seed, you plant a seed, and then in the fullness of time, the harvest returns. Understand this, as you go to work, it may take a little time, but I promise you this, God will be true to his word, and you will see the turnaround, and you will move forward as you put God's word into practice. God bless you. Bye for now.